they're sinful, but they're simple. A child is simple in its thinking. His or her thinking, it's not a good term, is it? And they're childish. And so today what we're going to look at is the use of the rod. And in chapter 13 of Proverbs, in verse 24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. There's a pretty big controversy today in the use of the rod. It's not been outlawed yet in any of the states, but there's a lot of negative and a lot of opposition to the use of spanking in raising of children. I want you to listen to some of the world's thinking on this. One person said, spanking is wrong because a child's bottom is close proximity to his sexual organs, that a spanking may result in sexual stimulation. That sounds like it came right from Sigmund Freud, doesn't it? Spanking is wrong because a child may so enjoy the making up which follows a spanking that he will seek the spanking. How many of you sought spanking? Since it is assumed that spanking is a form of parental revenge, it's feared that the child will learn to handle his frustrations like his parents do by striking out. In the words of one article, when we spank our children, we give them a taste of the jungle. The possibility of getting a spanking keeps a child from having a relaxed attitude toward life. He is always fearful of the spanking which might occur. Well, that's a good statement, isn't it? What's wrong with that? I mean, some children who are spanked still misbehave. Therefore, spanking must not work. One person commented on Proverbs, saying, Proverbs is a book of poetry, figurative language. Considering that, I'd say the rod mentioned in Proverbs is a figurative rod, not a literal one, but a figurative rod that represents discipline. Discipline means to correct and teach. Another article said, as an adult, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was vicious, unfeeling, inconsiderate to his subjects, had no regard for human rights, was widely hated. He barely escaped assassination at the hands of his own people. The Bible's true message here is, if you don't want your children to grow up to be like Rehoboam, then you should not follow Solomon's parenting style as it's described accurately in the Proverbs. Now, Rehoboam did grow up bad, didn't he? Well, I want to just chase this little rabbit here for a little bit. What's wrong with this saying that you should not follow Solomon's parenting style as actually described in the Bible? What's at the core of that? I think, right. Yeah, that's like saying this Sharpie, you know, that is defective, and so all of the Sharpies are defective, and you know they're going to run, they're going to stain. but see, you have to look at that. That this is Solomon. And in God's hands, God took Solomon and he wrote the proverb. This is not the words of Solomon. These are the words of God. And obviously, I mean, God also said you shouldn't multiply horses and wives, didn't he? But Solomon did. And so we're not looking at, just because Solomon messed up doesn't mean that the Bible's not true, and the concepts that are given to us are not biblical and good concepts. And so, all those things can be made as excuses, but nevertheless, the Bible calls for the use of the rod in the raising of children. The rod can mean a number of things. Some places it's translated tribe. It's translated 34 times rod. It's translated a scepter, a staff. And so, really, the rod is used as an example of chastisement. 2 Samuel 7:14 says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. And so I think we wouldn't go too far wrong when we see the term rod to just insert the word spanking. I guess we ought to I was just going to read these, but we'll whip through these because I think it's necessary to see them. We have already looked at 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Look over in 19 and 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And so we could stop here for a little bit, but there's a time when discipline has been withheld for so long that there's no hope of a change. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And then 22:15. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, with the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then 23:13, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And so I think also, the word rod is kind of a different connotation from a switch in our English understanding. We're not talking about a rod of rebar, or a crowbar or something of that sense, but it's talking about more like a willow branch, a switch that's going to sting. And so I want to talk a little bit here. I just go through, and I got way too much material, so we're just going to cut a lot out. But why does Proverbs, the Bible, but particularly Proverbs, talk about the use of the rod of discipline? Well, one reason is because parents neglect it. And so we need to be reminded. See, Proverbs assumes not only the fallen nature of children, but the fallen nature of parents, and it's admonishing them and reminding parents that they need to discipline. Why do parents fail to discipline? Well, one of the reasons is their own upbringing, how they were raised. And a lot of people raise their children like they were raised. And that's okay if they were raised in a godly fashion. But that's not okay if they weren't. In 1800s and early 1900s, there was a lot of biblical basis for foundation of families in America. And back in that time, if some parents were not disciplining their children, they were looked down upon. Today, if a person spanks his child in the aisle of the store, he's looked down upon. And so we've had a complete reversal here of the understanding of what's proper and right. And so sometimes, we just follow the pattern that we're used to. And that's not always right. We need to just follow the pattern of the Bible. Let me read you this sentence here. But the point of Proverbs mentions so much about the rod of discipline of children because it rightly assumes that parents will neglect to discipline their children. And so their own upbringing affects that. I'm going to raise my children like I was raised. Also, the parents need to be reminded of discipline because they're sluggards. They're lazy. Some of you are watching the Olympics, and when the American hockey women team played Canada, they got in a fight right at the last play. And it's going to be obvious that they'll probably face each other again for the gold medal. And so here we are. We got the television on. America is behind, but they're on the power play, and we're hoping that they score to tie the game up. And your wife has said, Johnny, go pick up your toys. And he says, I know, Mama, I don't want to. And you're sitting over here, all that. But man, it's Olympic Games. The power play's on. And I just don't have time to deal with that. Well, let me tell you something. And 2 years from now, probably next year, nobody will even remember who won the gold medal in the women's hockey. But your child is going to be there influenced by your actions for life. And so we're just lazy at times. And we need to, as I look on this side, there's only one parent. I look down this side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five parents, six parents, and over here, wannabe parents. But so you're just nodding your head, yeah. You know, I got a handle on this. I'll take care of this. And it's amazing how much we learn about ourselves when we have some children. But my point is that you'll neglect discipline. And we can't. And the point is that Proverbs goes over and over saying these things to remind us that this is an area of life in a family that cannot be neglected. Most of the time children do not disobey when it's convenient to give them a spanking. What do you think that little kid in the grocery cart is throwing a fit because they went by the toy section or they went by the candy section and mom wouldn't buy him that and he's throwing a fit? Why is he doing that? Because it's not convenient for the parent to deal with him. But he needs to be dealt with. And a lot of times that's a sign that he hadn't been dealt with at home too, isn't it? Because when the mom says something, he should have already had instilled into his mind that this is going to bring repercussions if I don't obey. And then you're going to find people that are just, some of your children are just going to be bullheaded, just like you. And you're going to have to be more bullheaded. Okay. Another reason many parents do not spank children is due to misdirected sympathy. The little darlings let out a sobbing and wailing that would melt the heart of a statue. In fact, a lot of little darlings begin wailing before the switch is even gotten. You know, and that cry could just melt grandma's heart. And you wonder, does he really have a repentant heart, or does he think the tears will soften the blows? And so we found there in Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Another reason why parents don't spank is the weird understanding of what it is to love your children. Love is viewed as never punishing them, never bringing pain, only dealing with a child in positive ways. But again, in Proverbs 13:24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If you love your children, you're going to give them discipline. And it's just really sad what you see today in parental raising. They try to, you know, both parents are working, they're farming their child off into the daycare center, and when they come home, they feel guilty about that, and they don't want to discipline the child, and they want to lavish him with, you know, gifts and more toys and stuff because they feel guilty, and all the time, they're just doing more and more damage to the children. And then one of the reasons also, and we'll look at this in greater detail, but we have this idea that we should never discipline in anger. Well, there's a wrath that's righteous, and there's a wrath that you shouldn't let the sun go down on. But discipline should never be retribution. But discipline, the whole concept of the word discipline is to bring about disciple, you know, bring about discipline is the forming of a child. It's the forming of the one that's being discipled. Part of that is, you got to understand, one of the greatest tools for a parent in raising their children is the little switch above the door. It's a great, great teaching tool. And we shouldn't throw it out of our teaching box, okay? Now, to parents neglect, another reason for discipline is to restrain evil. I think we would all say that I mean, even yesterday in this seminar, I think we would all say that America is less safe today than it was in 1850. And why is that? Part of that is because America and the legal system in America does not want to restrain evil. Sodomy laws, I don't even think about that. They don't want to restrain evil. And they're wanting even to, you know, make laws about spanking of a child. But Proverbs is given to us that we might learn to restrain evil. Genesis chapter 9 ordained capital punishment. Romans chapter 13 says that the servant of God, referring to police officers, bears not the sword in vain. That there's a reason that they pack a gun. There has to be law and order. And there has to be, and I want you to think about that, law and order. That without the tool of the switch in the home, they don't understand the consequence of disobeying the law. And there will be no order. There'll be chaos. And so the switch is simply a teaching tool. And it's required to restrain sin. And I think that you can see that. If there's consequences, you see today, there is no consequences for wrong behavior. yeah, they go to prison, but they got a better television than I got. And I wouldn't want to stay in prison overnight, no matter how good they got it. But there ought to be some consequences. Okay. One thing also is Proverbs does is discipline reveals the child's character. And let's look at some verses here. Proverbs 12 and 1. Proverbs 12 and 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And then in 13 and 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And then in 15 and verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, I think what you got to understand here is that this fool that is talking about here in Proverbs is not because he's retarded. And it's not because he was, when all the gifts were given out, that he's just not as smart as everybody else. This fool here, he can be dealt with. That the fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Didn't we read a verse here? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But what drives it from him? The rod of correction. And so one of the things that the rod does, it identifies the heart of the child. And you're going to have some children that want to please and they want to obey. And there's going to be other children that's going to be more difficult. But don't throw up your hands and say, what am I supposed to do with this case? Listen, God has given us the tools in Proverbs. And one of the greatest tools that you have at your option is a little stick that you put above the door or where you put it in the closet or wherever. And you reinforce your training. There's some ways that a lesson is driven home. When it becomes the best, when it becomes practical, you know, hands-on is very, very instructive. And I don't know how all the mindset and all that works, but when you hear about it, and somebody talks about it, somebody shows you, and then you actually do it yourself with help, it's driven home. Well, the rod is very instructive. And they'll learn that this kind of activity produces pain. And we're simply saying that the rod reveals the character of a child. And so when we read here, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that guardeth reproof is prudent. It just means that you're going to have to double up your efforts. And you may have to, in the teenage years, you may have to get a look at and see, in Proverbs 23, 26, it says, my son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. Maybe that he's got some friends that you need to separate him from. Maybe that he's got some music that you need to separate from. And Brother Ruby yesterday, pointed out to us very plainly that a lot of these school shootings, people were wearing garments that identified them with music that was evil. And so the rod just identifies the child's character. If they're brokenhearted, we had one of our kids, a girl, and when she got spanked, she wouldn't cry. is very, very bullheaded. And what do? Well, you don't throw up your hands. You just make more pain. And she turned out pretty good. A little weird, but that's because of her mom. And so, discipline. It reveals the character of a child. And that'll help you. Okay, again, we've already mentioned this, but the rod is it's a wonderful teaching tool. Look in Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy 8. This is on a national level, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And so the commandments were not given just as restrictions. The Ten Commandments were not given to us just to show us that we are fallen creatures. It was. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. But the commandments, listen, the commandments, when they are obeyed, they will bless your life. And so that's what he's saying. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, mouth of the Lord, doth man live. And so it's a teaching tool. The discipline that he gave them here, that he's talking about, he's just simply saying that it's brought us down to the understanding that man needs to live by the word of God, the principles of the word of God. But let me give you a verse that really nails down what I'm trying to get here, that it's a teaching tool. Look in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. We're talking about teaching and wisdom. Gaining of wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So if you want to raise a child that has wisdom, not just smarts, but wisdom, being able to take the smarts and apply it to life, to be wise, to be wiser than the college professor up at the UAF, if you want to raise a child that has wisdom, that you can set him out here on his own, and let me chase another rabbit. I'm afraid that many parenting styles are, and some even pastoral styles are, listen, you do what I tell you to do. And a good child and a good church member is because they follow what I told them to do. I'm not saying we shouldn't follow our parents and follow our pastor, but one of these days, a person is going to be taken out of the house and put into the midst of a wicked world. And he needs to have more than just obedience to what my father said and what my God has, what my pastor said, but he needs to have wisdom that his pastor has poured into him that he could stand in the evil day. And the rod helps that wisdom. In the formative years of a child's life, they need to understand that these rules are so you will make it. that you can survive on your own in society. That by God's grace and depending upon Him and following the principles of God's Word, that God can bless you. If you look at the statistics, children churches and church families are losing their children to the world when they send them off to college. It's over. Now, what's the problem? Somehow, we didn't teach them to stand on their own. And somehow, they didn't get the discipline that they wanted to get. He says here, the rod of reproof gives wisdom. It's a teaching tool. Now, some people are not teachable with mere words. A child, for example, may not grasp the danger of playing in the street. And the word no needs to be backed up by something they understand. And when they understand, you know, you have to make something more impressive than playing in the street. I used to have an old yellow dog, and he'd go out by the road and look down the road. He smelled something in his nose, I guarantee you, whether it was a dog in heat or some food down the road, I don't know. Or maybe he just smelled the need to travel. He'd go out by the road, and I'd say, Ernie, get back here. And he'd look at me, and he'd look down the road. I'd say, Ernie, come on, get back here. And he'd look at me, and he'd look down the road. And then pretty quick, he couldn't standing any longer. And when he left to take off, he took off like a rocket. Running down the road. So I go get in my truck. I follow him down the road. I'm looking, and there he is, over there in the bushes, all hunkered down. I open the door, get in here. He jumps in, and I start slugging him. I work him over. Come back to the house. He jumps out. He's wagging his tail. He's all ready to go. Labradors. At least you can beat them up and they still love you. But I'm telling you that that's the nature of humans, little humans too. And the reinforcement that has to be worse than the pleasure going down the road. It's a teaching tool, and it's a teaching, and you know, and I'm not trying to compare children to animals, although sometimes they're little animals, but I am saying this, that their eternal destiny lies at stake. And their future in this world could be either really blessed or really hampered on how we raise them. If God gives you children, understand that they are a gift from the Lord, that you're entrusted, you're put in trust with. When a certain estate goes in trust. It's given to some lawyers who are trusted to manage that. And God has entrusted you with a child to raise that will eventually bring honor and glory to His name. And so, it's a teaching tool. Stubbornness and willful stubbornness is something which the rod can remedy. You said, well, spankings don't do any good. Well, that's not true. Stubbornness, spankings are intended to change arrogance and pride into humility. Over there, I don't have these in my notes, but I'm thinking about in Romans, and it talks about that God disciplines those that He loves. And what is the end result of that discipline? It brings about what? You know what it says? Peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you'll see that. My mom tells a story that one day my brother, 3 or 4 years old, was just, you know, going around kicking dogs and, you know, tipping over chairs and just being mean and ornery and difficult. And she let it go. And finally she said, okay, get in the bedroom. And she went in there and spanked him and went back out and doing her work in the kitchen. And here comes my little brother, or my big brother. He comes out, and he grabs Mama's legs, and he says, I love you, Mama. Because it brought about a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And it can be a tremendous teaching tool that you absolutely need to keep in your box. Okay. The devastation of not using it, of not discipline. Look at you see, here's what's going to be in the Bible language. It'll either be the rod, or it's going to be the rock. In the Old Testament, if they didn't listen to their parents, then it would be brought before the city and stoned. That's pretty, you know, we realize that there's a difference of in the New Testament, there's a difference, but you realize this also, that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way that God viewed disobedience to parents was capital punishment. And we're not saying the first time they disobeyed, because we're talking about the rod. You know, one of the saddest things that I observe is to go over to FCC, Fairbanks Correctional Center, and wait in the little vestibule for them to open the door so we can come in. And mothers and fathers coming in to visit their children. And to realize that this would never be necessary if they had followed biblical principles. And so it will be the rod or the rock. Look in Proverbs 20 and 30. The blueness of a wound cleaneth away evil, so stripes the inward parts of the belly. And so it's necessary to get rid of evil. And 23 and verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. What a powerful verse. It's not saying we can beat them in or out of hell, but it's saying that there's some powerful principles that has to do with a person's eternal destiny that's being taught through the rod. A parent may not discipline his child. North Pole Police Department may let people off. The state of Alaska may let people murder and give them 20 years. And all that makes our work a lot greater because we go in there and say, listen, God's going to judge you for this sin. And they'll laugh at you because they've never faced it before. But when they understood from a child when it was time to discipline, when they understood that disobedience brought the rod, then it curbs the sin. And it gives them understanding. And so, Deuteronomy, just let's look over in Deuteronomy 21. Like I say, I kind of hate to teach these lessons because I see the kids really getting it after sometimes when Pastor taught on it. Everybody wants to tighten up because we tend to just let things go. But Proverbs remind us over and over. In Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him into the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. There was a time when Thomas Edison, I'm just pointing out this here in fear. Thomas Edison started a fire in his father's barn and nearly burnt the town down. And when Thomas Edison was disciplined, the people of the city were invited to come and watch him get a spanking. One thing about discipline, you know, the kid needed a spanking. I said, okay, buddy, you're getting it. You know what? Everybody else scattered just like cockroaches underneath the light. They're gone. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to be around it. Because they know sometimes Dad didn't know who did it, and he spanked all of them. I still get moaning about that. But it curbs sin. Don't tell me capital punishment doesn't work. But these guys who committed murder in FCC, they come in, and some of them, I believe that Mr. Gilbert has been converted by the grace of God that he's allowed that to happen. But they come in and they fist bump each other and there's no shame. But let me tell you something. If we take these guys and we hang them on the gallows in the city of North Pole, it would deter sin. And that's what the rod is all about. It's a deterrent of sin. And the idea is that God's going to punish sin. And we need to fear authority. Okay? And so, realize that I think we need to get this mindset, but realize that powerful verse that when we don't discipline our children, don't sit there and say, oh, how much I love her or how much I love him. They're just,